This is always an important feast, but quite remarkable right now as we get ready for this consistory and the change of a pope. Only a few days more and he will have resigned. And there's probably been few times in the history of the church when the papacy has been under such severe spiritual attack as right now. See, Satan hates the church. It's the one bulwark against everything that he could do to destroy the human race. Look at what's happened already. I mean, look at the immorality. Immorality, you know, money, power, murder, sexual aberrations. And the church is standing there saying, this is not the will of God, under the leadership of the Pope. That's why the Russians, or whoever they were, sent that fella, Agsa, remember, to kill John Paul II. Satan hates the church. That's why it says here, you see, I'll build my church on you, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell are referring to a spot in the temple which just opens up and leads into hell. That's the tradition, and that's where the great rock is. But now that's the church is now that temple, and Peter is that rock. And so we have to be ready to defend Peter. right at this moment, there is all sorts of sordid things being talked about, being revealed surrounding the Pope. A lot of gay people in high office. I mean, it's a mess. And it's just coming out now. But I think, you see, that was the whole idea. Clean it out so that the next man has some upright men to serve him and to protect the church. And I don't know whether you've been following all this. It's on the internet. It's all over the place, you know. But remember, we have the presence, we have the promise here of the Lord Jesus, right? We have the prayer in Luke. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith fail not, and that you, having been strengthened, confirm your brothers. It's not just this text in Matthew that talks about this role of Peter. Huh? And then we have the reinstatement of Peter in John. Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Take care of my flock. So, the person under the most severe satanic attack in the world is the Pope. Nobody knows the burden he carries. I think this Pope knows he's going to die soon. One way or another, there are prophecies that it's going to be shot, but we'll have to see. But that's why he said, look, I'm out. We've got to get the new Pope in, clean out this curia, and get ready for what's going to happen. There'll be other attacks of darkness on the world. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. And the Pope has to be strong, and the church has to be strong. And so we have to get all the crud out of it, starting with ourselves, and be ready. And it's just a remarkable timing that this feast, February 23rd, the chair of Peter, but February 23rd, 2013, is a very significant day. And the whole church is praying for Peter. You see? Because it's a prophetic function. It's guaranteeing that the gospel always be preached purely and not with an admixture. That's why he's got the congregation, the one that this man used to head up, CDF. But it's to preserve the pure gospel. Nothing. And that's why the church, and especially that dear old Kyria, is under constant attack. Constant attack. And now, with the rest of the world going one way, and the traditional sort of respect for the Roman Church being obliterated, you saw that stuff in the Washington Post, I suppose, and the rest, because whatever Satan can do to diminish the influence of the church is going to make his job a lot easier. And that's why I think it was the Lord who told Benedict, retire now, get out of the way, get the other man in, because darkness is coming. And the church, the leader, has to be strong. You know, I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. And you, once having been strengthened, turn and strengthen your brothers. And so it's a wonderful coincidence, if that's the right word, that we have this feast now, right on the edge of the consistory, to pray. Nobody knows the burden of that job except those 280, whatever they are, men who've carried it. To protect the whole church from the incredible hatred of Satan, which he stirs up in all sorts of people. Politicians, newspaper people, dilettantes, cocktail people, I mean, everybody. And so, be ready. And look at this miracle. The oldest institution in the history of the world. 2,000 years. I can't say without a slip, but 2,000 years. And still existing, still a power, and will always be that, because Christ chooses that man. So it's very interesting that we would have this feast as we get ready to pray and support the church. And these poor guys have got to go over there and elect the Pope. Some are great. They're good theologians. They're upright men. They're holy men. And some are clowns. And they got in the job, God knows how, but they're there. And now they have to be moved by the Holy Spirit. Enough of them. To get this consistory going and the right man put in. And there will be, you know, I lived there 5 years. You know, I worked, I know what I'm talking about, you know. The ones who can lead and who are listening to the Lord are many. But there are the other fellows too. And they want to corrupt the doctrine of the church. And they want to have these little political moves and break the consistory, so scatter it that they have to pick a compromise candidate. Well, a compromise candidate, will, normally speaking, is a weak candidate. We can't afford that now. However, the Lord has foxed them more than once. John the 23rd was a compromise candidate. And he changed the whole history of the church. He got in that job, and he made it human, for one thing. Pius the 12th was, you know, Pacelli. He's part of the nobility of Rome. And John the 23rd is definitely not nobility. You know, he's a peasant from the north. And he got in, and he went, one of the first things he did was to visit the prison. Well, you know, the vocabulary before that, Il Santo Padre, from his august lips has, you know, and has deigned to visit the poor or something, you know. Well, with John the 23rd, no more of that. He got there, sat down among those prisoners, and the first thing he said to them was, "My uncle was in jail once." Just, you know, it says the Carabinieri, they're like the state police over there, you know, they caught him stealing chickens. And my uncle was in jail once. And made it human. The minute he stepped into that office, Protestant pilgrims came down by the millions from Europe. And that was the beginning of the ecumenical council. So the Lord has one in mind. And there'll be enough people there, enough, you know, responsable there, praying and listening. And the Lord will see to it that he's handpicked, whoever he is. But there will be a colossal battle. The newspapers will be filled of all these new discoveries of all the gays and the fellow there, the butler and all that stuff, you know. It's amazing that the power of holiness in just a few people to keep the church going. But I got news for you. We have to be part of those holy people. We got to get the sin out of our lives. We have to start really living a very serious Christian life so that the reality of Christ and his church is alive in us and we can support this man, not only by praying for him, but by representing him, living his way of life, and preaching his truth. Anyway, that's enough.